All right. Hey, man. Say, man.
And I'm Jasmine.
And welcome to another wonderful installment of the Hopeful Romantics podcast. Today, we have two wonderful individuals who have poured into so many people's lives, really through this podcast, but just in their ministry as well, the Mac Attack Show. We have Brother Mac and Phaedra McLaughlin. Welcome to the show, good people.
Hey,
welcome, welcome. Thank you for having us. This is a joy. As was mentioned before, we are the host of the Mac Attack Show, where we talk about faith, love, justice, politics, music, hip hop, culture, everything. But we thank God for this particular opportunity, because one of the things my wife, my lovely wife, Phaedra, and I are passionate about is family and the gift of marriage. Marriage is a beautiful thing. I know so many people preach a narrative that marriage is so bad and I don't want to do it, but it truly and genuinely is something that what you put in is what you get out. And so I'm excited tonight as we talk to the hopeful romantics. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, man. Go ahead and pray us in, man.
Sure. Gracious God, we thank you tonight for friendship. We thank you for conversation. We thank you for honest, authentic, transparent dialogue. And God, we pray tonight that someone who's listening to this podcast be blessed in a mighty way, inspired and encouraged. Give them hope in this season. We celebrate you, God, as we come close to Christmas and celebrating Jesus' birth. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you sent your son. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that continues to abound in so many ways. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man. So right before we got on, you said you all are coming up on a 7th year wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
So for those who aren't so familiar with the Mac Attack Show, we would just like to hear you all's story and how you all went from, you know, single. I know you the bros. I know you was out here, man. I'm not going to put my business out there. But how we...
Actually, I have always... I began at the Baptist training unit.
Amen.
No, our story is pretty awesome, and I'm gonna let my wife take the lead on a lot of this. We met in seminary. We both acknowledged a call, and shout out to Wesley Theological Seminary. We were friends for 3 years. I was actually, when we met, I was in a relationship. I wasn't cheating. We just were classmates, My wife, she had big dreams. I told her, aim higher. And so one day she asked me for my phone. No, I'm just playing. but seriously, we met in seminary. We both were very passionate about calling, and we became friends through passion for the word of God. And we also had mutual friends that just so happened to be the bros. We stayed connected over the years, and we always were there for one another. My wife, she was my best friend during some of my lowest moments, and I thank God for that. One of the things I often say, I didn't marry her just for what she did in the past. When you get married, it's not because of what someone did. It's because you see a future with this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I saw myself spending the rest of my life with her, and so... we dated, but it was about 6 to 8 months. It was like we both knew we had already had the friendship piece down. And so one night at the parking lot of First Baptist Church of Glen Arden.
Okay.
I put a ring in a Bible and I asked my now wife to open up the Bible. And it was on Proverbs where he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And she opened the Bible and the rest is history. Now we 7 years, 3 kids, and a beautiful life together, and we're still going and still growing. Amen. Anything I left out you want to add?
No. What's your question? How we met?
How we met? Just how you all got from there?
Okay. So we did meet in school. Now he was the class clown. Oh. Even in seminary. We're in, you know, and I was so serious because I had acknowledged a call from God, and I was sitting there and I was so just trying to listen to the word, and he's behind me just singing and humming. I'm like, will you be quiet? And he was like, what's the problem? Like, he was just so easygoing and carefree, but I was real serious. And my mom got sick, and I reached out to him because he was the only person I really knew in class. I didn't really talk to anyone. I came to class and just left right away. And he always, we had two classes together, actually, and he always was behind me in each class. And so he was the only person I really knew, really talked to. And so I asked him if he could give me the notes because I knew I was going to be missing class for a couple of weeks. As it turned out, my mom was had to be hospitalized and was in the hospital for a long time. And I ended up having to withdraw. But that's how we first actually started to talk, because
she said, hey, can I get your number? Because I'm fucking like, get out of here. No,
yeah. So I had reached out to him because I wanted to get the notes and so we could kind of study. And he prayed with me for my mom. And so from there, he would ask, how's my mom doing? And so that kind of started the friendship. And then I ended up going to another school. I ended up graduating from a different seminary, but we still remained friends. And we talked, it got to the point we were talking like every day. And one of my female best friends was like, you talk to him every day. You sure nothing's going on? I was like, oh, that's just my friend. And he had invited me to hear him preach a couple of times, but for different reasons, I couldn't make it. And so this one time, I heard God say, what about Jameson? And I was like, as if to say, like, have you considered my son Jameson? It reminded me of the book of Job, where God was like, have you considered, you know, my son Job?
Absolutely.
And so,
you know, Job got tortured after that.
He kind of went through it after that. But that's a good analogy.
So anyway, you made me forget where I was.
You said the Lord said.
Okay, right. So I had reached out to him. I was like, you know, are you going to be, you know, are you still preaching? Because he had invited me. And he said, you know, that had I not gone that time, he had already made up his mind. He wasn't going to invite me anymore because he had been inviting me for a while and I just couldn't make it. And so finally, this one time I went and I heard him preach, and I remember typing a message because I wanted to make sure that he didn't think that my attraction was because of the anointing. I didn't want him to think, like, after I heard him preach, oh, now did you hear me preach? Now you want to, you know, and I didn't know if it was going to be good or not, but I emailed myself, and so that there was a time stamp. Date stamp, wow. Prior to hearing him preach, saying, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but something like, you know, God said, you know, to consider Jameson. So anyway, so I heard him preach, and then we went out to eat, and all of his friends were like, oh, y'all a couple. Everybody kept referring to us as a couple. We were like, no, we're just friends. And then shortly after that, we were like, well, maybe we should see how things go. And then it was really interesting. You know, I had never been in a situation where we started out as friends, and then from the friendship evolved the relationship. It was always the other way around. There was the attraction and the relationship, and then, you know, sometimes a friendship, sometimes not. But it was really interesting transitioning into being more than friends. And that was kind of hard as well, because I was like, oh, he's just my friend, you know? Yeah. Yes,
No. I want to be sensitive to the time. I know it's a podcast. We want to keep people going and attention span. So if you all had something else wanted to shift, I was being sensitive to that.
Okay. Oh, man, we got all the time in the world. Yeah. All people.
Okay, all right. Cool. No rush on our part. I just, you know, some people like to do their podcasts like 15, 30 minutes. So I want to be sensitive to how the flow y'all go with.
The people listening, they go listen.
Yeah, typically it's around 45. Closer to 45. So no worries at all.
Yeah, for sure.
But, all right, awesome. So can y'all give us a brief synopsis of how you two got here?
Oh, man. Go ahead. Oh, I got to. Okay. So we went to school together, right? But we really weren't that good of friends. Okay.
We weren't friends.
We weren't really that good of friends. It was more of a head nod type thing. Right. Jasmine was a year ahead of me. She came my sophomore year. Track star. Like, okay. Ridiculous. She still got records at the school, right? But I used to see her on the news all the time because they would take her and like sing her praises about how she killed everybody at the meet last week. So I used to see her all the time and thought she's mad cool. So then fast forward, well, we kind of like would stay in each other's notifications on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. But then summer of my sophomore year in college, I just hit her up one night because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was tweeting. I act a fool on Twitter because, like, that's my outlet. And she was liking all of my tweets at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I DM her. I'm like, Jasmine, you up kind of late, like, to just be liking somebody's tweets in a row. And then that led to us really talking what? Like, every single day.
For about
a month.
Yeah, about a month.
And then she was down at Duke at the time doing an internship. So she had came up to see her homegirl who stayed in my neighborhood. So that was August 10th. So we had our first date in my mama's basement. It was supposed to be an outdoor picnic, but it was a little damp outside. So I turned it into an indoor picnic. I cooked for her, all that stuff. Spent the whole day with her. She met my mama and my sister on the first date.
That was an accident, though.
It was very much intentional because I was like, it's something about this girl. And then that led to us spending every single day together for the next 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. So August 10th through 14th. We spent every single day together. It was that Wednesday, though, that I read that the tide turned because I wasn't supposed to see her that day. But for whatever reason, she needed to get her car washed. And she didn't know how to just Google the nearest car wash. But she asked me, like, do you know where even though we had stayed there our whole, like, for the past 5-6 years. So she knew exactly where the car wash was. But she had to text me, like, do you know where I can get my car wash? I'm like, if you want to see me, just say that. So we go to the car wash, but that turned into us going to get ice cream or whatever. But then after we pulled into this parking lot and it was starting to get dark and we were just talking and talking and talking. And all of a sudden it felt like, you know, we had turned the radio down. It felt like there was another presence in the car with us, right? And that was obviously the Holy Ghost ushering themselves in. And immediately as we felt that, we kind of looked at each other and we prayed together. And this is our third day seeing each other physically. And then after that, we tried to fake the funk like we weren't going to actually date because we went to different colleges.
Yeah.
But we said, like, we'll see how it goes. But like what, like 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days that weekend. So that happened on the Wednesday. That Saturday, I went back to school and Charles called me and we were like, we should probably just go ahead and start dating. And then we dated for three and a half years before we got engaged. Yes. Yeah. And then got engaged a month ago today. Today we got engaged.
Happy anniversary.
Yay. Thank you. Congrats.
Yeah. So it's been
4 years.
It's been a really dope journey, though.
It has.
So yeah, I guess my question to y'all, though, is with on the engagement tip, is what was the difference? Because you say y'all didn't even really date that long. What was that shift in mindset from dating to engagement?
So my wife could probably answer this better. By that point in our lives, we were in our 30s. We were a lot more mature, especially spiritually. And we were more advocates for courting. For those who are familiar with Michael Todd's book, He would call it intentional dating, being with. But it's different from dating because courting means you're not going to be with somebody unless you can see yourself with them,
right,
for the rest of your life,
yep,
right,
potentially. And so we knew by that time, based on various factors, especially spiritually, we had similar experiences where we would be sitting on the couch, we would pray, and it would be so powerful. As well as intimate. I fully believe praying together is one of the most intimate things a couple could do. But we courted with intentionality. Like, look, we're going to figure this out. And ironically, I still don't know the date, but I had a time frame or a limit to if I don't propose by such and such date, then she was just going to walk away. And at this season in my life, that I'm just that's what she told me. I tell you at that point in my life, I knew I wanted to be married, but I didn't want to just be married just for the sake of being married. I was praying, God, you know, send the help me that you intend for me to be the mother of my children, my partner, in marriage. And partnership is so big. For those that have read the Four Laws of Love, one of them is partnership, key. And so I saw so many similar ideals and aspirations in her. And so we wanted to, once I realized this was it, no need to go any further, we moved on. So that was it. And we knew going in, because we had talked about it, we didn't believe in a long engagement. You know, there once was a time that the wedding is supposed to happen within a year. People have changed from that. And now it's nothing to me. The couple has been engaged for like 6 years or 8 years.
Yeah.
To me, that's dangerous.
Come on, bro.
You know, if yeah. you know, then you know. And let me just say this for anybody that's listening, that's in a space where, because I always hear this, I do a lot of weddings. I do at least one dozen, if not two dozen weddings a year. And often people say, I just want things to be right. Especially guys, they're like, well, I want us to be in a better spot. But listen, when God says go, just move. Things will never be perfect by human standards. I just want to, especially when you're young, like you may not have the six-figure job. Everything may not be wiped off your credit. You may not have the six-pack abs and run the marathon you want to do. It's a lot on a bucket list that you may not have checked off. But when God says go, move. And I promise you, and I can tell you from personal testimony, God will take care of the rest. When I proposed to my wife, I had just got called to as an assistant pastor at church, but I didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how we were going to afford to have a place. The Lord blessed us with a parsonage where we didn't have to pay rent. The Lord blessed her with a job. The Lord blessed me with side income. And so many people just showered us, and this is just the financial blessings, but also we had such peace of mind because we went with God. We didn't have to worry about what any family members or friends, not that we had a very supportive cast, but we didn't have to worry about any haters because we just went with God and God took care of the rest. And so I know that was a long answer, but the longest story is,
absolutely.
Oh, cool, man. We just believe God that we don't have to wait all day. Now, I will say, I caution people not to rush, because a lot of couples do rush. A lot of people say, well, I just want to move now. I do say, make sure you hear from God.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're not distracted by other factors. and some people, they rush it. They're like, look, I want to get married now. Make sure you know that you've heard from God. And I'm careful not to say make sure that you're ready, because marriage is one of those things you don't know until you're in it.
Yeah.
And there's no definitive outline or notebook to say that you're ready. I mean, you have to be at a place where you're willing to be honest, trustworthy, communicate, and faithful. So there are some things, but then there's some things that you may not know about. Like, some people don't know how to fight things. Some people don't know how to share. It's a lot of innuendos that go into, or things that go into marriage. And so I can't fully say a person is ready or they know beforehand that they're ready, but it's one of those things that God just gives you a peace and a comfort and confidence about, and you just got to trust God.
That's a lot of gems you just dropped, man, because it's a lot of people I think are going into There's an idea about marriage, especially in this generation, where it's really geared towards like being financially ready. Because I talk about the fact that when we first started having those marriage type conversations, I used to always say, I don't have anything. Like, that was my biggest negation, was like, I don't have anything to bring you into. That was my biggest, because that's how I was taught.
Mm-hmm.
A man brings his wife into something, and if he doesn't have anything, then she shouldn't be his wife yet. right? But then as I've, you know, gotten deeper in my walk and really sat with the Lord about what that truly means, as I've matured spiritually, now I have something that is better than any like manly possession. Yeah. And that's a connection with the Father. So as a result, I'm going to be okay. And as a result, my wife is going to be okay. And I think that shift in mindset is really what made me confident enough to get down on one knee, because I knew that that connection was going to sustain me longer than anything else on this earth. So you really hit a lot of things on the head when it comes to just really looking at relationships in a way where it's an extension of your relationship with the Father. So
absolutely,
really dope, man. But it is the holiday season. And y'all, I know you wanted to touch on this too, because we actually.
Well, I cannot. Can we pitch our tent right there? Just, I got a question for y'all. You mentioned your generation.
Okay.
it's amazing yet refreshing to see a couple so young, willing to, you know, tie the knot, feeling comfortable and confident and jumping the broom. So many people try to discourage people from getting married at this age.
Yeah.
And then you probably have friends, let's just keep it 100. You probably have friends that are out there far from marriage, commitment, let alone marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
And so what would you say is your motivating factors that bring you to this point and really drive you all to say, hey, we're in this together, we're going to make it?
Go ahead, you got that one.
For me, it is looking out and seeing the generational consequences of either families coming together and like the parents not being married, or like just a lot of these family structures that I didn't want to have, or that I've seen the ramifications of that I didn't want to mirror. So when Charles and I were getting serious, my mindset was always we're moving toward marriage. Like, I never let it be acceptable that we were going to either start a family, or we were either going to move in together, or we were going to do these things that to me marked us building a family without getting married. So to me, it was breaking generational curses. It was just looking out and wanting something new, something different to be normal for the children that I bring in, or the generation of cousins that come under me. I wanted them to see that there's a different way to build a family. You know, if it didn't work for, you know, the generation above us, the generation above them, like, we can make it what we want. And for me, it was getting married first and building from there, knowing that we're solid before we bring anything or anyone else into, you know, our family structure.
Yeah, after we got engaged, we kind of did the math on both sides of our family, like, how many folk got married first, cooled it for a little bit in their marriage, and then popped the babies out, and we ain't come up with a lot of names. Not, no shade to our folks.
Yeah, not at all.
But it's just, we looked at the structure in which we were doing things, and it just made sense for, number one, who we are, what we're trying to do, what we're aspiring to be. And we really feel like that order is really going to just set us up to be successful in our relationship. But also, like, our children are really going to be beneficiaries of our love being the foundation of everything that they'll know.
Yeah.
And I think it's also giving us an advantage that we don't have to necessarily expedite some of the growth that occurs sometimes when some things might be occurring, like, unexpectedly. Like, if me and Jasmine, say, had gotten pregnant when we first got together, that baby would be 4 years old now. You know what I'm saying? And us doing what we're doing in combination with being parents would have been almost, like, impossible.
Yeah,
right?
Completely different.
And our structure, like, the growth of our love would have been different. Our walks would have been different, because
our priorities would literally be different.
Right. And how are we to say if we would be able really to prioritize one another in that way if there would have been another individual in the mix that we had to prioritize?
Yeah.
So I think us really recognizing the ways in which God really wanted us to move in this relationship was how we moved in the relationship. And I think listening to God and having him be at the focal point from jump really has been what has allowed us to really be successful and will allow us to continue to be successful. Because I think that's not something that you, well, we're something that we're focused on not losing sight of. And keeping God as the center of your relationship, especially like when you're really trying to be better as you go along, is something that I just think is completely vital. And I think it's something that we've continuously working on. So the ring just, for me, has just really centered that even more. Like now it's something that I'm even more intentional about. And I think that's just going to continue. So.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, not at. I mean, that's awesome. And I definitely commend, you know, your intentionality of wanting to break generational curses, because unfortunately within, especially within the Black community, because of everything that we've been subjected to as relates to racism and slavery, and people don't really understand the ramifications of all of that. When you had Black people who basically were not allowed to get married, and then they were forced to have children outside of marriage. And that was what their bodies were conditioned to do, their minds were conditioned to do, is to just, you know, procreate and just have babies and be baby machines. And to try to undo, you know, that thinking, that mindset, it's a lot. There are a lot of things that I think, especially within the Black culture, and also just the culture in general has okayed, you know, getting having kids out of wedlock, but even more so in the Black community. I can't remember a time when someone asked me, when was I going to get married? The question was always, when are you going to have a kid? When are you having kids? Because as he said, we were in our 30s, but for me, I was 39. So I was really pushing 40 when we got married. And so I'm telling people, well, when are you going to have a baby? I was like, well, when I get married, you know, it wasn't, that wasn't the question. The question was having a baby. And even myself, my mom and dad weren't married. And not only were my mom and dad not married, my dad was married to another woman and had an affair. So I'm the result of an affair. And so for me personally, I definitely was like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm breaking that cycle. So I definitely understand. And I commend you guys for you know, doing that and for being intentional and doing things. And what people have to understand is this is God's way, you know, so.
Yeah, that's wild to me because like, now that I think about it, that structure is definitely something. It's not that I think marriage is like almost taboo now, but especially like before 30, it's a weird mix. So I know for brothers at least, like we don't really get that question probably until like past 35. So, but anything before that, it's like, bro, you sure?
Yeah. Wait a minute, which question about marriage?
Or of like when are you getting married, right?
Do you guys get questioned about when you want to have a kid?
For sure. People would more likely talk to me about when Charles and I were going to have children, or like, oh, the babies will be so cute, or things like that, or even.
No, what I mean is to him. See, that's what I'm trying to, is to the man, people will ask, when are you going to get married? But to the woman, they ask, when are you going to have kids? Like, Charles, did they ever say to you, hey, man, when are you going to have kids?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what they.
Yes, she was saying that. I'm like, I don't even. That never came across my desk. So like, that's big wild.
But you know, I'm sure they asked you, when are you going to settle down and get married? Did people ask you that, Charles?
Yeah, at times. But now, since I'm still kind of young, like that question is also coupled with like, you sure?
Right.
24. Yeah. Right. 24 going on 25. So it's like you have the usual throwing is like y'all have so much more life to live, blase. And it was a little pushback because it's like, have y'all gone through enough as a couple to know that you're supposed to be married? And we always said, what does going through mean? Does that mean like did someone cheat and y'all got through it?
That's really a lot of times in our generation, like the thing that couples have to like get through or they have to like work their way back from is infidelity and like how you trusted your partner again, or these like really these dramatic events that have to happen in order for you to know that like you can fight for your person. And what we talked about in the very beginning was we don't need to betray one another to know that I can trust you. You know what I mean? Like things can happen just in life as general, like life is not easy. Things happen all the time. And the person that you're with supporting you and loving you and building you back up and being there when you need them in a way that you need them to be is enough to know that, especially if God has already spoken to your heart that this is your person, that's enough to know. And then when it comes time where God tells you that now if you're ready to move to the next step, like that's really, that's the only necessary requirement. We don't need to have, you know, a falling out to build back up to know that we're ready for marriage. Because like you said earlier, we think about all the time how we have no idea what marriage is going to be for us. But there's also no way to prepare. Like, how do you prepare for something
you've never done before?
Right. You can't expect. Even gaining experience or gaining advice and talking to other married people, like that's great. And that's very like powerful and beneficial. But their marriage is not going to be our marriage. Our marriage isn't their marriage. So like,
amen.
We gain so much to help us, you know, and the only thing that will help us is the experience of being married to each other. So it's an interesting. Right.
And I'll say this, a lot of those people who have all of those issues, you know, they've gone through this and gone through that, and you know, they overcame infidelity and this and that.
Heavy on the air quotes.
Yeah, a lot of those marriages don't last, and it's because those relationships were toxic, and mm-hmm. they're built on a foundation of hurt. Mm-hmm. And like they say, hurt people hurt people. And mm-hmm. so you're already coming into the marriage with insecurities, with hurt, with pain, you know. And so that's just not healthy. Like, I mean, I would liken it to buying a car. I mean, would you intentionally like buy a car that you know has been in car accidents and has been banged up, even if it looks nice, but you know, like you get the report and you know that this car has been in several accidents, yeah. you know, versus a car that, you know, is fresh off the lot.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Amen. So you all bring up some great points. This has been some rich dialogue. A lot of people often refer to this book, The Four Seasons of Marriage, and they talk about how they encourage people to go through different seasons. Of relationship. We had our COVID test, don't worry. but seriously, as you said, life can bring so many challenges. There doesn't have to be infidelity to be a challenge. I fully believe we learned that we could trust one another, or at least she learned she could trust me, and that I would have her back with her mom's health situation.
Mm-hmm.
I had financial issues. I was in seminary. I wasn't working. My only source of income was preaching. And she still had my back through all of my ups and downs as well. And so those winter seasons in your relationship, or those stormy seasons, don't have to be self-inflicted. Life can deliver life. You enough. There's so much that life can bring to you that you don't have to cause each other pain. And so I agree with that. And I love the point you brought up about no two marriages or relationships being the same. I have the pleasure of counseling talking to a lot of couples, and I tell them, you don't have to be married like your parents. You don't have to be married like anybody else. Some couples have one bank account, some have four. Some couples travel every month or every quarter. Some don't go on vacation at all. The biggest thing for me is that you have to agree. The Bible is very clear in Amos. How can two walk together unless they agree? You don't have to be like somebody else just as long as you two are on the same page.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Speaking of same page, though, so we are maneuvering our first split holiday.
Oh, my gosh.
as a couple, now that we're engaged, every Christmas season and holiday season so far has been like, all right, we'll see you either the day after mm-hmm. or the day Never. Before.
It's our first year of trying to, and really just the whole engagement season so far has been trying to balance Charles's family, my family, and spending time with both. And then with us getting engaged the week before Thanksgiving, we were just thrown into the holiday season. It's like, how do we do that and let everyone feel valued and seen and special.
Appease everybody.
Basically. But also do that for each other. So it's been a little rocky so far.
We need some tips. We need some tricks. We need to know what to expect going forward.
I hate saying this, but for me, the reality is everybody's not going to be pleased. For me, the best system is to be fair. So we talked about this because my wife's from Maryland, my family's from Virginia. So we didn't have the opportunity of saying, all right, we'll spend part of the day with your family and part of the day with mine. But it's also been my experience when your families are close by, that can be even worse because as soon as you get into town or, you know, once the day starts, certain parents or certain families are expecting you to be with them. But either way, I just believe you can't please everybody, so just be fair. One of the things we proposed to each other when we first got married is, all right, let's mix it up. One Thanksgiving will be with your family. Christmas will be with mine. And then next year we flip it. And then we'll look at the other holidays so that we're being consistent. And somebody's going to be upset because but you're not coming this year. Are you not doing this? And you know, but I like systems. I think systems of being fair. That way, if somebody ever approaches you about it, because, you know, especially I can forewarn you, once kids get involved and they want to see grandbabies, then there's going to be even more pressure. But if you can say, hey, we did this with them, we're doing this with y'all, then they can at least say, all right, you know, at least you're not being slandered. You don't ever want it to seem like, and I'll be honest, Charles, the pressure is going to be on you. Because often the man ends up spending more time with his wife's family, and then your family may feel slighted. And so you want to be careful to try to be balanced. And so I like and I recommend systems. And some families, you know, they don't like Thanksgiving. So you don't even have to worry about it. You got to just figure out what works for your family and make sure it's equal.
Yeah, I would say, I'm sorry, I'm a little stuck on you. So you think we spent more time with my family?
No, I see that often happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, well,
you live here with your family.
Ours is a unique situation because when my father got sick, we relocated to Virginia. And so.
Yeah, so, and speaking of that, so for me, for us, again, as I mentioned earlier, my mother was sick. My mother had COPD and was on oxygen. And so she actually, interestingly enough, she passed away on, tomorrow will be her 2-year anniversary. She passed away December the 22nd of 2018. And it just so happened that the Thanksgiving before she passed away, we almost didn't go. We almost didn't go because it wasn't our turn. It wasn't the turn to go see my family. We were supposed to. So what we were supposed to see his family for Thanksgiving and see my family for Christmas. But thanks be to God, it didn't work out that way. Because had we done that, I wouldn't have seen her before she passed away. Because she passed away before Christmas. But I'm saying that to say that sometimes you also have to consider if you have someone who is aging, if you have a sick loved one, and you never know, you know what I mean? You don't know if this is going to be the last holiday for them. So you have to take all that into consideration. And then another thing is, you know, what you might need to do is be creative and come up with ways to see the family on days that's not the holiday. Yeah. So, and this is how you also make sure that you guys put yourself first. So let's say for Thanksgiving, you all spend Thanksgiving with each other. And then maybe you could see her family on the Wednesday before and see your family the Friday after. Or for things, or same for Christmas. Maybe you don't see anybody on Christmas Day, but maybe you see someone Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, or, you know what I mean? Find other ways so that it's kind of the idea of like what I do with my kids. If they're fighting over a toy, then no one gets the toy. How about that? Nobody gets the toy. How about that? You know what I mean? So
if nobody gets nothing.
An issue, then just kind of remove that and just say, you know what, we're going to find alternative ways to celebrate. And then also in doing that, you guys don't get lost because you want to create your own traditions. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is the, you know, COVID, you know, was allowed me the opportunity to cook Thanksgiving dinner for the first time, because every year we're going over somebody else's house. So this was my first year to say, oh, I cook Thanksgiving dinner for my family. And so you want to be able to have your own traditions as well. Was it good?
Good job.
It was good. You did a good job too with the turkey. He did a good job. So anyway, yeah, I think that you just have to consider the people involved. If you have someone who's sick, you know, you do want to take that in consideration, but then also be creative, you know, just basically, ultimately, do what's best for you. Don't let other people, that's one thing I'm really big on. Don't let anybody, you know, guilt trip you or manipulate you. You know, at the end of the day, once you guys get married, especially, you guys are a unit, you know what I mean? And you have to make sure that you guys come first.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, this isn't for you all, but this is for anybody else that's listening. If an environment is toxic, whether it's family or whoever, you just have to be careful about, you know, going into every environment. And so if you have in-laws that bring just drama to your marriage or to your household or just to you, while I'm not going to say cut them off, but I would say, you know, take that into consideration when you're doing your holiday planning, because all of that stuff can take a toll on you. You bring that energy back home. So
there's a reason the word says leave and cleave. Mm. And so, you know, and that's true, you know, so.
And one of the advantages you two will have, you're newlyweds, make, you know, you can set some traditions now and some standards now. I suggest establish early, you know, like, hey, you know, some holidays we might want to go to Cabo or Jamaica, you know.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. Before we have kids, we want to kind of dip off.
Yeah, the earlier you establish, you know, what the trend may be, I think the better, and then people can make the adjustments.
Yeah. And I will, let me real quick piggyback off of that. Travel as much as you can before you have kids. Now, that's not to say, I don't like, a lot of times people make it seem like, oh, once you have kids, your life is just over. And so I don't want to paint that picture, but I will say it's a difference when you have kids. You can still travel with your kids, but when they get to a certain age. Because so you have to take in consideration, okay, the time of being pregnant. You know, you don't really want to travel while you're pregnant because you might go into labor while you're out of state. And then the time once the baby is born, you're not going to take a newborn anywhere. Now you're getting into 2-3 years later down the road. By then, you might have the next child. Now, you know, next thing you know, it's like 7-10 years before you have a chance to really feel comfortable enough to leave your kids and go somewhere. And of course, you can take your kids with you, but it's a whole different dynamic going to Cancun with your kids versus just you and your boo, you know. So try to, you know, travel as much as you can. I just wanted to mention that since you mentioned travel, do as much traveling as you can before you have kids, because it's hard to, you know, even if you have people who can watch the babies for you, it's hard to go to work, you know, when they're babies. It's hard to go to work, let alone go out of the state or go out of the country with little ones.
Yeah. I just want to add one other thing. It's unrelated, but since we're talking about the holidays, don't ever stop dating. Put some mistletoe around the apartment. Play some fun games. Play some Christmas games. Drink your eggnog and have fun. Watch movies. As you get more and more to your relationship, and now that you all are engaged, you might start having more and more conversations about, all right, we have to get this person a gift. We have to do this for this person. We got to do this there, or we need to go here together. Yeah. Make sure you are intentional about making time for one another and have fun. Enjoy each other. Just want to say that.
Dang, man. Wow. So many devs. Because it's like everything that we've been, you know, this has been a kind of like probably one of the busiest holiday seasons.
For sure.
Like, already. Which is crazy because you would think COVID would slow things down. But if anything, like, it turned things all the way up. But we definitely have been really just trying like be as close to one another as possible. Mm-hmm. So we did divvy up the holiday pretty well, like two, and then we split in the day.
Yeah.
Like, we really try to help everybody out in that regard. But I think we're in a good position.
But I think one thing that I've learned already this year is this probably won't sustain us very long, trying to split the week in half. Even if our family, we're about 50 to an hour apart right now. So it's not too far. But I hear what you're saying when we, at some point, one, making the system of what are we going to do so we're consistent, but two, not losing ourselves and what we want to do for the holidays by trying to be here, be there, and appease everyone else. Because I think this year we very much did that. Like, we had to check the box so no one felt left out, especially it being our first year. But after we're married, we gotta figure this out because it's not supposed to be stressful. And I can already feel it being stressful.
Yeah.
Thinking about trying to make everyone happy.
Yeah. Oof. That's why I say just don't do it. Just say, hey, I'll see you in January.
No, really.
That's what it's looking like.
So I hadn't planned on addressing this, but this conversation leads me to something else. The holidays can be just like your wedding reception and your wedding ceremony, but especially your reception. and I tell couples all the time, I tell them two things. One, once you get the guest list down, it's all downhill. But I also mentioned that God has a sense of humor because the guest list can be the most dramatic part of your engagement. And I say God has a humor with that because if you two as a couple don't learn how to handle and manage outside people, whether it's your parents, your friends, your cousins, fraternity brothers, whomever, it will challenge your relationship. And so for me, the guest list and the holidays are great they're a great preparer for being able to work together. Again, we talk about being a helpmeet. You two have to work together, partners. And if y'all can't come to some type of agreement and overcome the haze of the holidays as well as the guest list, I'm prepping y'all. The guest list, I'm telling you. Then if you struggle overcoming that haze, it can be a challenge because then you will constantly deal with that in your marriage. And that's something many couples deal with. And just being transparent, I love everybody. I've been guilty of trying to make everybody happy, but my priority is my wife.
Look, I do it. That's on a whole nother level because it wasn't even just the wedding reception, just life. Every time I turn around, he got this bruh, that bruh. I'm up in the hospital, just gave birth, you know, trying to breastfeed, you know, half naked, and people coming in. I'm like, who are these people?
But I'm popular. I mean, that's not my fault. You know, blame God. This is God's gift. I don't know what to tell you.
I would echo his sentiment, and I would actually take it a step further. It's not just the guest list. The whole wedding planning, the whole experience, because it will reveal. It will reveal some things, you know, and I think you really get to see who the other one is during this process of planning on many levels. You get to see, even from a financial standpoint, whether or not they are willing to maintain a budget, stick to the budget, what their priorities are. You know, so the whole process of planning really is, to me, if you can make it through, I think that's the first test. That's the first major test as a couple. If you can make it through the planning process, you know, because whether it's, you know, I want steak and you want lobster, you know, I want a chic wedding, but you want a backyard barbecue. It just kind of shows, like, can you guys, number one, can you both agree, you know? And then if you can't agree, can you agree to disagree? Can you guys still be compatible, you know? Can you compromise? You know, all of that will come out, because basically when you're just dating or courting, it's just kind of like, you know, hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. And it's not a big deal. If you want to get some popcorn, okay. It's not a big deal. But when it comes to the wedding, that is something that's very valuable and sacred. And so that's when you'll start to see whether or not you all are clashing or if you're on the same page.
Enjoy the cake tasting, bro. That's the best part of the whole thing.
And one more thing as far as the reception goes, I would say, make sure, because someone did tell me this, make sure if you're having a big reception, I don't know with COVID and everything, I don't know what you guys are planning, but if you are having a reception, tell the caterers to pack your food aside and put it to the side, because you probably won't get to eat.
That's what everyone keeps telling us.
Huh? Yeah. You probably won't get to eat.
Because you go around saying your greetings, and next thing you know, you got first dance, and you dance, you got all these dancing, and you partying, you having a good time. Next thing you know, you look up, and they putting up the food. You're like, wait.
Oh, nah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I got to eat something. That's a good point.
I didn't even think, people have told us that. We've gone to a couple weddings in the past year, and I would say 2 out of 3 of them said they didn't eat all day, because there was just so much going on that they looked up, the reception was ending, and they hadn't eaten. I'm like, wow, you did all that work picking this beautiful meal, and then you didn't even get to eat it.
Mm-hmm. But we're in the thick of planning right now, and I think the biggest thing for us is just talking about people's feelings, really, people projecting certain things, but that's just outside of the wedding. I think it's just the whole relationship is, marriage has brought out what we see, what we're noticing in people, how their feelings towards marriage, right, or their experiences in marriage, and looking at us kind of as like this, like we are what would some people deem like the catalyst for what could either be good or bad. And some people want to, I've experienced some people kind of projecting like the bad on us based off of like the questions they ask us or like how they see us moving and stuff like that. So I think that's one thing that I've really noticed is the way that people feel about their own self in relationships definitely presents itself in the way that they like ask us certain things in this season, which is very interesting because we anticipated, you know, fanfare, confetti, fireworks, champagne popping from all parties. And that probably lasted about
a day,
24 hours after
the day.
So
when everyone sat with it, it was surprising. Some of the conversations we've had, some of the people who said things were like, whoa, this is not what we were expecting at all. So I think that's been the biggest challenge of being engaged so far. The planning part, not so much. Yeah. We have been talking about the wedding for probably months prior.
She had been talking about the wedding.
A lot of details that we had really already discussed, and we're not really too thick into like we did the menu, so we did that together and kind of compromised on that. But a lot of it has been the outside affecting us rather than like the inside just yet. So it's been a lot.
Wait till you get close. Wait till you get close.
Yeah, and I would say just make sure that you guys are a solid front, because that's the enemy, you know. And I understand it may be, you know, your grandmother, it may be someone close to you that's saying these things, but those seeds that are being planted, those seeds of doubt, is the enemy, you know. I mean, it's just, I just did a Bible study on this. It's just the same thing as the serpent saying to Eve, did God really say don't eat from that tree? You know, it's that planting that seed. And then once, you know, Eve ate of the fruit and gave it to Adam, and then God said, you know, where are you? And, you know, what happened? And Adam's response was, this woman you gave me. Mm-hmm. And the immediate dissension was between the man and the woman. So basically what I'm saying is those people that are coming in and asking those questions, they may have good intentions, but don't understand that it's the enemy that is using them to plant those seeds of discord and dissension and separation. And you all have to stay focused on what did God say? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, no matter what man got to say, what did God say? So you got to keep that in the forefront. And that also is, again, going to be the glue for your marriage, because going forward, somebody may think that you guys shouldn't move into this house. Somebody else might think y'all should only have one child. Somebody might think, and you have to, you know, tell the naysayers, look, as for me and my house, we're going to do what the Lord says. And this is what the Lord says. And, you know, and you have to stand confident in that. You know what I mean? Don't let anybody, I don't care how old you are, you know, and a lot of times people will try to maybe intimidate you and say, oh, well, you're young, you don't know. Well, you're old enough. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're old enough to work, you're old enough to pay bills, then you're old enough to make your own decisions. So just stand firm on that.
Absolutely. So many jokes.
If they have anything else to say, you tell them to come talk to me and I'll tell them.
They go find Miss Frazier.
You said something very important about the expectation of fanfare. I want to encourage you all, and since you ran track, I'll use this metaphor. Just run your race. At the end of the day, yes, track, you're in lanes competing against others, but if you run your best time, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what others around you are doing. In your marriage and in your relationship, there are going to be some people that will surprise you by their support, but there are going to be a lot of people that you'll be surprised that they're not supportive.
Yes.
And sometimes that's also from other married people. And so you have to have set in your mind, we're going to make it. Charles, I'll use the bruh metaphor. Pledging, especially the closer you get to Omega Land, it's a whole lot of reasons to drop. It's a Absolutely. Whole lot of reasons to quit. But you have to have in your mind, like, all right, but you know what? I'm going to make it. And I just fully believe when two people say, we want to be married, regardless of what else happens, you can make it through. Regardless of how bad things get, if you have decided in your mind, we're going to make it, regardless of what anybody else does, you'll make it. And so make up in your mind, whether you have crowds or whether you have nobody at all, at the end of the day, it's you two at the altar. That's why the whole congregation is not at the altar with you. Mm-hmm. It's two people at the altar. Yeah, I mean, you got your bridesmaids and groom, but my point is, you get my point.
For sure.
In front, the two making the vows, the covenant with God and the covenant with one another, are you two. So it's something, now that you know, it's something to be expected, but just brush it off and keep it moving.
And I think it's actually, I would say, very revelatory for you guys to see and for this to happen now as opposed to later once you are married. You know what I mean? But then also the fact that you guys are can recognize it. You know, because a lot of times things happen and we don't really understand or recognize what's happening while we're in the you know, it's not until after that. I mean, there are many couples, I'm sure, that have been broken up because of people, you know, having this to say and that to say, and then they start to second guess. Well, maybe we should, maybe we are too young. Maybe we should wait. Well, maybe this, maybe that. And at the end of the day, as long as you guys continue to pray, you know, and continue to make sure that you're listening to God, then, you know,
yeah,
that's really, you know.
And when we say pray, we're not only saying pray for your spouse, but also pray with your spouse.
Absolutely. Dang, man. Wow. This has been so, like, I know this is for the episode, but this was,
it's really
this
good.
Was cool just for us. Like, honestly and truly. It's been,
oh, bless you. This is good for us. We enjoy it.
Oh, man. Like, y'all really have poured into us in ways that we really are searching for and seeking in this season as we're really just trying to figure this thing on out.
Yeah.
Because this is it.
Have you guys done any premarital counseling yet?
Yeah, so we started. We've had two sessions. Our first one was kind of our consultation. The second one was the get to know you 90 minute, really do all of that kind of stuff. But we'll probably meet, what did we say, once a month or twice a month?
Once or twice a month.
Yeah.
Up until the wedding. So
it gives us about 8 months.
Well, make sure, well, good. Make sure that some of the things that you want to definitely cover is finances. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you, that they cover with you how you're going to raise your children. Because that's a, you know, one of you all may believe in corporal punishment. The other one may believe in time out, you know. So you have to both be on the same page.
Time out. World, what is that? I know time out in basketball, but
we do time
out. Chilling, you know,
and you know, so those are two areas I think a lot of couples don't spend enough time on talking about those things. And then also one really important thing that I also want to mention is having kids. What if one of you all can't? You know, you have to talk about all of that. You know what I mean? You don't want to wait until, you know, it's too late to then have the conversation that you should have had, you know, beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I often suggest to couples is fertility testing, as well as STD testing, as well as credit checks. Just let's not have too many surprises after we say I do. So those are some things. And everything my wife mentioned are great things to seek. Make sure communication is addressed. Trust is addressed. I'm a huge advocate for dealing with expectations. What is your perception of marriage and what is my perception of marriage? Are we expecting two different things? Again, I believe you two need to be on the same page.
Roles.
What are your roles?
Role.
Yeah. What am I expecting you to do? I've had guys saying their expectation was they're going to get some every night and she's going to cook every night. And she looking like, are you serious? So you need to just be on the same page. What are your expectations? And you even outside of the counseling session, you all can have healthy conversations get on the same page.
And what not only are your expectations, but what are your deal breakers?
Yeah.
What, like, if this happens, you know, no way, no how, unequivocally, I cannot deal with XYZ, you know, so you need to talk about all of those things. And then even with the expectations, okay, so if your expectation isn't met or if that expectation changes, then what? And even, and here's another thing I don't think a lot of couples talk about or they don't really discuss too often is the changes. Change happens, you know. I wish I was still the same, you know, skinny, six-pack, 20-year-old, you know. Things happen. You know, ladies, especially if you plan to be married for life, well, what's going to happen when I go through menopause? What's going to happen when, you know, we have ED?
She motioned. It was the hand motion that said, like,
you know,
that, It didn't turn into a hypothetical with the hand motion.
I'm just saying, the point I'm making is life happens and life changes. And what's going to happen when that happens? What if I get sick? You have to talk. See, that's why we're laughing, because that's something that a lot of people don't talk about. But it's true.
Yeah, that joke, you're about to kill. But that's really good.
Yeah. Though.
Because who else are you going to talk about it with? You know?
Right.
But your person, but your spouse. So you got to get it all out there, man. That's real.
That is real.
Hey, so much, yo. I know whoever's listening has, I hope y'all got your notepad out.
This is definitely a note-taking episode.
Definitely a rewind episode. Listen a couple times.
Only other one thing I want to say about holidays, we've taken up so much of your time. Thank y'all for this great conversation. I enjoyed it. Don't let gifts become a sense of tension or argument. So many couples try to compete with one another, spending how much, spending, you know,
going over the selected budget and how much you probably going to spend.
But at the same time,
you know, you also have to consider the person's love language.
Yeah.
And if their love language is receiving gifts, then that doesn't mean that you have to, I'm not advocating in any way to exceed a budget. But what I am saying is that if that person's love language is receiving gifts, then you have to give a gift that's a quality gift. Doesn't mean expensive. It could be a gift that has, you know, has some kind of sentimental, you know, importance. But the point is, you know, some people, that is their love language. And so, you know.
Shout out to Gary Chapman and Five Love Languages. And I'll just add one other thing since we're at that space. Know your spouse. Know who you're with. Their love language may not be receiving gifts. It might be acts of service. And so the greatest Christmas gift you can give them is doing some type of act around the house, or it could be physical touch. It could be quality time. Some people just want to spend quality time, and that could be the greatest gift. Y'all could ride to a light show or listen to Nat King Cole or watch Charlie Brown. I don't know what people do, but just know who you're with and be contextual. You know, pay attention all year long. You have 364 days to get, you know, to have an idea as to what they may like. So pay attention to your spouse, and don't just do what your friends did for their wife or their girlfriend. Do what's going to make your spouse happy, or your girlfriend or whomever happy. And God will take care of the rest.
That's good.
Can I just say, one thing? My husband has been dropping all these titles of books, and I just want to say I wrote a book.
Oh yes.
And
you better push.
You know, I'm just going to advocate for myself. So I wrote
a wonderful book.
I wrote a book about courting. It's called Precepts for Godly Courtship.
Okay.
And in that, I talk about different things of how to select a mate, and then even once you're together, you know, how to engage, you know, with one another during your engagement season. And a lot of what we talked about actually is in the book.
Amen. Great book.
I love that.
All right. So what we'll do, we'll make sure to just put the link to purchase it right in the description box.
Yeah, for sure.
So everyone can go get that. Absolutely. I know we will. So
yeah, that's really good.
Oh, I'll send you a copy. No problem.
No, we'll buy the book.
Well, the reason I was saying that so I could sign it.
Oh, that'd be so nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank y'all, man. Wow. We really appreciate it.
Thank y'all. We enjoyed it. Thank y'all.
Thank you, man.
This is so great. Thank you so much.
New regulars, the MAGA Tag Show. You'll be back several different times.
Oh, yeah. We hope so. We look forward to it. Do you guys, even if you may not want to say out loud, have you guys set a date yet?
Yes.
July 3rd.
Oh.
What?
She prefaced it by saying, if you want to say it out loud. So yeah, July 3rd, don't know the year yet.
Well, we'll be praying for you on a regular basis. And if there's anything we can do, don't hesitate to call. Seriously, we're here for you. Charles, please. Loved you for years now. And you know, with your wife, you're part of the family. Love you too. Thanks. We thank God for y'all. And so, yeah, we're in your corner. You know, we're not going to be one of those people hating on you. Don't worry. we believe in so. We believe one of the reasons we're blessed is because so many poured into us. And so we feel almost obligated to do the same thing with younger couples. So,
yeah. And I personally know that this is my call is family and marriage. Marriage is a ministry. And when you look at it like that, from that standpoint of ministering through your marriage, whether you're ministering to one another or you're ministering to others through the example of your marriage is a ministry. And so, you know, definitely if you guys have any, no matter how big or small it may seem that the question is, if you guys have a question about, hey, this is what I live for, you know, so please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We look forward to communicating with you guys again and doing another show before the wedding.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And after.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all so
much. All right.
Rude to the good, bros. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you guys.
Yes, thank you as well. Thank you so much.